Welcome to the Ames Heartbeat Podcast, a monthly brief interview with social services, civic, education, and business leaders about life in Ames and Story County. This podcast is produced and presented by the Serve Ministries of Christ Community Church, committed to the pursuit of common good while sharing the uncommon news of the gospel in and from Central Iowa, right here where God has placed us, because loving Ames means knowing Ames.
Hello and welcome. I'm Wayne Stewart, Serve Pastor at Christ Community Church in Ames, Iowa, and your podcast host. Our guest today is Liam Ericke, Operations Coordinator at Ames Romero House, a Catholic grassroots community that invites those experiencing poverty into loving community and friendship. Originally from Davenport, Iowa, Liam was first introduced to the Romero House in the spring of 2022. Liam has always wanted to spend his life serving others, and the Romero House is the perfect outlet for that desire. Newly married, he and Emma are living and making their mark in Ames. Well, Liam, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Of course.
Super glad to have you here. I think it's the first time we've actually had a conversation with Romero House through any of our either listening sessions or podcasts. So very fun to get you guys a little bit of focus here and find out what's going on from your view of our community.
Yeah, it's very exciting to be on here. We're very happy to partner with Christ Community Church. You guys have been wonderful to us and have helped us support those in the community who need the most support. So
great. Well, we're thankful for the frontline stuff you guys are doing and glad to jump in however we can. So this is a bit of a larger awareness campaign for us with the podcast, really sort of putting the church in a listening posture, trying to figure out the things that we don't know are going on and become more aware and both of what's happening in our own community and the ways that God might be calling us to step into those places. So got four questions for you today. I'm going to start off with the first one. From your place of leadership in our town, what do you think are some things that are going pretty well?
I think, especially from the perspective of the Romero House, it's so beautiful to see all the church communities come together and really support us in our mission. We are a Catholic organization, but we are really trying to posture ourselves in an ecumenical light. And I think we all love Jesus Christ, right? And Amen. So there's no reason we can't help fellow Christians do the works of mercy that Christ commands us to do. Yeah. It's really beautiful to just see Christ Community Church, First United Methodist Church, First Lutheran, or not Hope Lutheran, that's mm-hmm. the name of it.
Yeah.
St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Cecilia's, just all these and many more. I'm sure we've seen most of the churches in the area help us in some way. It's just so beautiful to see fellow Christians standing side by side with fellow Christians to serve those who Christ clearly favors, right? Like,
yeah.
Blessed are the poor.
Yeah, amen. Well, that's a wonderful thing. And we're trying to figure out, I think, too, how to step in even further into some church collaborations. And that's a part of this Local Matters initiative. It is wonderful to see churches linking arms in areas that are clearly common good, areas that we would all go, absolutely, we should be joining our efforts in these areas. You know, that the list of churches that you just mentioned, if we were, you know, to sit down and have fun and honest conversations about theological perspectives, any distinctives denominationally, histories, those kind of things, there would be all kinds of things to sort of talk about. But the issue of caring for those who are either materially poor or challenged with housing insecurity or just lacking basic needs in our community sure feels like one of those that's just an easy win, right?
Yeah. It's like all of our different denominations may disagree on some pretty big issues, but I love that, like, even it's still in this like very divided time, there are things that we all just say, this is common sense. This is clearly what Christ commands. Let's work together. Let's do this. Let's serve the poor. And do as Christ told us.
So Amen.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah, that's great. In a bunch of these conversations, it's been a common thread actually in our community, the collaborative nature of agencies, entities, groups of people, neighborhoods. Sadly, churches sometimes maybe are the ones that are a little bit harder in some communities to get to work shoulder to shoulder. But I'm really glad to hear that you're hearing that where the places of action happen, right? You know, so it's beyond words. It's actually people showing up and doing good together in all the ways that can really make a difference for the folks that we would clearly long to love in Christ. So that's awesome. So how about the opposite of that question then? What are some of the challenges that you see currently in our community?
Coming again at this from the perspective of the Romero House, and I think it's a thing that happens in every town, especially with just the rising problem of homelessness. It sadly, so many people are just one paycheck away from being in that situation. It's called NIMBY, not in my backyard.
Right. Yeah.
We struggled with some of that in like the passing of ordinance for us to be able to operate in our new facility at 702 Clark Avenue. And it's just, it's very understandable, right? Like, you want to preserve the thing that you love, be that your neighborhood for whatever characteristics, or like even maybe misplaced fear. Mm-hmm. If you fear things you don't understand, if you've only ever had bad interactions with those who are homeless, of course you don't want to have them in your neighborhood. And it's very understandable, but it is also very sad that people kind of hide themselves from some of those really important experiences and very eye-opening experiences. Interacting with the homeless is something that is always scary the first time. I don't think anyone who's ever volunteered at the Ames Romero House has ever had it the first time they volunteer there be an unscary experience. Like, I think we all just carry so much preconceived notions of what a homeless person is like. Many people think that they are on drugs, that they are mentally unstable. But I mean, they're just people, right? And if you treat them like people, they respond to being treated humanely with the dignity that all people are owed. And so but if you've never had to experience that, of course it's a scary thing. And it shouldn't be shameful that it's scary. It should just be honest.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think honest is a great way to think about it, right? I think people's experience sets are very, very different in these areas, and understandable to some extent for people to have some of those preconceptions that actual contact and engagement can really do wonders for. Doesn't mean that there aren't challenges there. But if those are the things, if the preconceptions are the things that keep us from even taking a step of engagement, those could be lovingly challenged a little bit,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And right. It's always just, I think to live the Christian life is to live a life of constant conversion. And we can always look for where we're falling short, and we can always strive to be more virtuous.
Yeah. Great. Good. Okay. So if there was something maybe that you felt like the church maybe doesn't know, right? I mean, we're not presuming that we know everything. We maybe feel like we know our town okay, and we've been here for a while, but there's plenty of things that we're not sort of critically aware of, probably, or clearly aware of in our community. If there was something in that category that you would like the church to know, what might that be?
Yeah, speaking back a little bit to collaboration between churches, especially in the support of the Romero House, the thing that I'm really falling in love with here in Ames is the interagency cooperation here in town. Even like less than a year ago, all of the different social service agencies, be that Salvation Army, the Bridge Home, even Mary Greeley in some ways, we were all kind of silos.
Okay.
Like, these are my people, don't come get them. And now we are completely shifted through an initiative of Salvation Army, Mary Greeley and the ARCH program and the Ames PD, they created this group called HOST, which the Ames Romero House was very graciously like one of the first agencies invited from the original core team. And every Friday, we literally come together and say, hey, this person needs this thing. Who can do it? And we're no longer competing for clients. We are actively just working together to give those who are trying to help the help that they need, and not really caring about who has the funding, who's doing this. It's this person needs help. Who has the resources right now to help them? And let's do it. And we're going to hold each other accountable to getting these things done. And so the Romero House is this really beautiful thing because so many caseworkers or whatever don't see their clients every day. We do. Every single day we see these people in and out. And we get to be the like daily connection point for the rest of the agencies so that they can be like, hey, is my client there? Hey, is this person, have you seen this person recently? I've been trying to get a hold of them. And we get to be this connection point where, because we have the staffing to do that, to just work with all these agencies and help make sure the people we're serving are getting the help that they need and we could all get to work together.
Yeah, that's super encouraging to hear, because I think you could have the, you know, preconceived notion again that agencies are territorial at times, and because of the limits of funding that comes either statewide or from the federal government, that there could be a little bit of a competition there. So that's super encouraging to hear that that's increasingly not the case. I'm also hearing from a lot of agencies a sort of a two-pronged effort. One, most of the agencies have a presenting sort of specialization. Right, in some ways, could be that it's the you know, the housing side of things for the bridge home, or it could be any other number of ways that agencies are helping. But then also, each agency also feels like it's becoming more sort of long term care and effect in people's lives too. Like there's this consistency of relationship and a sense of they're gonna need interaction and care multiple times and consistently and in the context of an actual relationship, right? And so it's not just the thing that I can give them specifically from my agency. So that's really encouraging to hear too. Have you seen some of that?
Yeah. And the beauty of what we do is we're not professionals, right? Like I don't have a degree in social work or anything like that. I am just someone who went to Iowa State and who fell in love with serving the poor and am doing my best to do that. And we get consulted by professionals, but we are an agency of amateurs. And there's goodness and drawbacks to that. But one thing that is sad for like more established agencies that are like, we are social workers. We are whatever like official title with like maybe boards that regulate that field, they have to have some more, and necessarily more boundaries. I get to just become friends with people who are homeless. Like that is my job, is I am their friend. And I do my best to be their friend. I do see so many people wanting to have long-term relationship and all of those things as to the extent that they can, right? It's really beautiful when people inside of this field are even choosing to do it outside of work. And that's when they can really give in to those, like, help these people. Like, I'm going to drive this person to work every day at 6 a.m. One of the people I get to work with at HOST, she's just like, this person needs a ride at 6 a.m. every morning. And I can't, this is not part of my job. I'm just choosing to do this every morning. I'm getting up at 6 and taking this person.
That's amazing. That comes from a very different place then, right?
Yeah.
And probably lands differently within the context of that relationship, right? That's very cool. Good to hear. So you were saying that at Iowa State, you sort of started to learn about and love engaging with, caring for, connecting with, the poor, however you want to define that broadly. Would you mind giving a little background on that? Did you have a certain set of experiences that led you to that, or?
Yeah. So I'm originally from Davenport, Iowa, and in high school, I loved going downtown, and I just had a lot of encounters with homeless people downtown Davenport, and it was always a terrifying experience. It was just a scary thing for me, and I didn't like it. But I had always had on my heart a charism for service. Like, that was always what I wanted to do. I never wanted to make a lot of money. I just wanted to live a life that was for others. And I met my small group leader in college. Was like, oh, I'm going to go build a fence at this place called the Romero House. And I said, what's the Romero House and can I join you? And I just got involved there and just fell in love with the guys who were living there at the time, because it was at the time it was a place where we sheltered men for long term. We housed 6 to 11 homeless guys at the time, and I just got to meet them and experience them and love them before we transitioned to now our hospitality model. But it was really cool to get involved in an organization that is that young and that on fire, and I was just able to comfortably experience those who had in the past been the scary thing, and seeing them in their home and experiencing them as just people who wanted to hang out and just have conversations. And they smoked a lot of cigarettes in the backyard and having just beautiful conversations in that context. It eased the tension and made it this beautiful relationship, and realizing that they're just people. They're not, it's not this scary other. It's just a person, and they might not smell great right now, but they're a person too.
That's really helpful, I think, for us to hear that part of your story, right? And how your heart grew there with engagement. So lastly, and the answer to this question could be homelessness, but it doesn't have to be. If there was something in our community that you think people of divergent opinion, but goodwill could come together on and link arms on and in, what might that be?
I think people of goodwill can really... I'm the homelessness guy, right? I work in a homeless mission, and I spend a lot of my time thinking about that. I really think, everyone sees that it's a problem. We might come about solutions to that problem in different ways, but I do think it's really helpful that we all can come together and say, this is a problem. Now let's talk about particulars and figure out what is the best way to do this. And we can disagree in those particulars, but I think it's the first step to community working together is all saying, we see a problem. And so I think we all see that there's a problem of homelessness here in Ames, and we all see people walking on Lincoln Way or over sleeping outside the library. But this is something that we can all recognize as a problem. So now let's work together and find solutions that we can all agree with.
You know, the interesting turn on that phrase, not in my backyard, is to view it from the other perspective and to say, we're not going to allow this to happen in our backyard because we're going to figure out a way to help, right? We're going to figure out a way to engage, and we're going to figure out a way to the extent that it's possible to alleviate this, right? So I think that phrase can get turned the other way too, which I kind of like.
And I pray that we can turn it the other way.
Great. Good. So there's some exciting news for you guys, ministry and program wise. In the last while, you've been working really hard across the street. So tell me about that.
So our first property that we started in December 2020 is 709 Clark Avenue. It's this little yellow house just north of First Christian Church here in Ames. And it small yellow house. We were just very radical. Our founder, Matt Mitchell, just asked a community member to co-sign a loan and say, let's pray about this. And if you are with me, we should be able to fundraise the next mortgage payment by the end of this month. And they just did it. And they started that, they bought that yellow house and were able to house a bunch of guys. And then staffing stuff turned around, just became difficult in that particular environment. And 2023, we transitioned to a hospitality model where we are what our industry calls a day shelter. We provide services during the day to give people comfort and hospitality. but we quickly outgrew that little yellow house. We serve about between 30 and 40 people daily.
Wow.
Yeah. And a small 2,000 square foot house is, it just gets cramped really quickly.
Yep.
And so a very grateful, gracious donor donated, gave us a very large check and bought us what is we call the Orange House. Mm-hmm. It's 702 Clark Avenue. If you ever go to the fairway downtown, it's the big orange house across the street from the parking lot.
Yeah.
Some donors in 2024 came together and purchased us that house, which is very generous of them. And we've been spending the last year, we've been spending the last year renovating and getting through all the legal things you have to do here in Ames to transition that particular house and that particular zoning into a commercial property. And now, and then we just finished up all our construction as of last week. And as of July 28th, 2025, we are now providing hospitality services at 702 Clark Avenue. We've increased our square footage. I think it's a 6,000 square foot house.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so we just have so much more space. And the renovation, we've very intentionally wanted to get the nicest things. Because one of our volunteers at our volunteer training last week, when she saw the house, she said, "Oh my goodness, this is going to give so much dignity to those we love, to those we serve." And we love them. And it does. To go from a house that, which is difficult to maintain because of its size and the amount of people who were in there, mm-hmm. like the flooring with all the traffic was just getting gross. And it was just hard to maintain such a small space with so much foot traffic. To have space and breathing space and nice furniture and a beautiful dining space and state-of-the-art washers and dryers, right? Like, those who are using our services now can have, like, dignity mm-hmm. in what they're doing, to have the nicest things, and to see that, like, they are worthy of nice things. Because so many people just give them old T-shirts, old jeans, used backpacks. But to, like, see that I'm worthy of something new, of something beautiful, we're really excited to get to provide that kind of space to those who otherwise don't have access to it.
Yeah. The beauty of the space and all that goes in it and the relationships that are there and the welcoming nature of what's going on there is a very powerful statement to someone who may not value themselves that much.
Yeah.
Right? To come to know that they're greatly valued in the eyes of God and that there are some touch points in that place that speak that loudly and clearly whenever folks come by. That's amazing. That's great to hear. Good. Well, I'm going to put a little plug in here for the We Heart Ames Day of Service on Saturday the 23rd. If you're listening to this and you want to come join me at a work project at the Romero House in the morning, I don't know what you guys are going to have for us, but you've got some stuff for us to do, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot to do still.
Yeah.
So we will be putting you guys to work.
That's awesome. Well, we're looking forward to it. Thank you, Liam, for the time today. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you for following that opening in your heart, right, and seeing what God has done with that and continues to do with that. It's incredibly encouraging. I want to thank you from Christ Community Church for the place that you guys have in our town of being welcoming and continuing to extend that in ever greater ways.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Pastor Wayne.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the Ames Heartbeat Podcast. Check out more episodes at ccames.org/podcasts or on many of your favorite streaming services.